You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The pandemic slowed food supply lines all across the country as workers at major meat processing plants got sick. So that meant more ranchers were turning to local butchers for processing, and consumers were turning to them for meat. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports on how they're doing now and what it means for hunters.
The building is old and gray, but the processing room is clean and neat. A few animal carcasses hang near the wall. A worker in a white coat, hairnet, and face mask starts a machine that vacuum seals a steak into plastic packaging. I'm at Northwest Premium Meats, a USDA-certified meat processing plant in southern Idaho. Elliot Tolbert is the manager.
You've got them running packaging and labeling down there. All of our guys will cut on the table.
We go up to his office. He says the relatively small company saw a massive influx of people wanting to buy meat or get meat processed during the pandemic.
Like 120% increase or better, you know, 200%.
But Tolbert says the uptick didn't start last year.
I think that the pandemic just kind of accelerated a trend of people going back to the small producers, going back to the local beef.
Trade organizations agree and say that trend has played out nationally too, but it's hard for shops to grow when there are labor shortages. Tolbert's shop did expand from around 10 people before the pandemic to 18 now, but even that wasn't enough for him to keep processing wild game like deer or elk. It's something they'd done after hours in the past.
When it came down to it, it was just nobody wanted to do it. We didn't have the manning. Everybody was already running ragged, so we 86'd it.
Still, hunters kept calling, looking for anyone to process their animals.
I know guys that are doing it on the weekends, and a couple of them have told me stories of, they brought it over to my house, or I went over to their house to help them cut it up, and it was bad.
The meat had spoiled. Get Your Meat LLC in nearby Boise only processes wild game. Andy Donsero is the owner. Even he hasn't been able to keep up with demand.
In October, we were averaging 110 phone calls daily. We just stopped answering the phone, unfortunately. We didn't know what to do. I'm a small shop, so there's only two of us.
This isn't just an Idaho problem, though.
We've clearly have had members that have set aside doing the wild game.
Christopher Young directs the American Association of Meat Processors. He says this is good for local meat shops. They no longer need to process wild game to make ends meet, and those who keep processing game can increase their costs.
We've even had guys that do wild game that have upped their prices to kind of try to price themselves out of it to slow it down, and it hasn't slowed it down.
But that puts hunters in a tight spot, especially if they don't have the space, time, or know-how to process game themselves. Even if you got one of the first deer or elk of the season, you might have had a long wait to get it processed. Jason O'Neill in Helena, Montana, got a mule deer buck on October 23rd, opening day.
By about 9:30 opening morning, I already had it gutted and ready to start the trudge out to pack it out of the forest.
He brought it to a local butcher that night, and it still took more than 2.5 weeks to get processed. He says their message to him was clear.
We are, dealing with staffing shortages.
Someone I know in Boise, Sven Berg, got a white-tailed doe in North Idaho last year and couldn't find a single place to process it locally. He ultimately had to drop it off and later pick it back up in Spokane, Washington, about 40 minutes from where his dad lives. And the cost was about 3 times what he'd paid in the past.
When we got the deer back, it was like a week and a half later. And it was like close to $300. And we were just like, what are we doing?
Berg says he'll head back north to hunt just before Thanksgiving. If he has a successful hunt, and it's still hard to find a local, affordable processor this year, Berg and his dad may just sharpen their own knives.
We're just going to say, let's just bite the bullet. Let's lay a bunch of tarps out and start butchering this ourselves.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
And Madeline is joining us live now to talk more about this. Madeline, it's always good to have you on the show.
Always good to be here.
So, Madeline, we ended the story with Sven going hunting again. Any updates from him yet?
I've been checking in with him, and so far as of yesterday, I got a message saying he was actively hunting. So no success yet, but, you know, waiting to hear back.
So you've been following the meat supply chain throughout the entire pandemic, you know, which is upwards, you know, we're heading towards that 2-year mark. So this is, frankly, just the latest issue. So where do you see things, you know, going from here?
Well, yeah. So at first, obviously, you had at the top of the chain, you had a pandemic that made workers sick at these big plants, slowed those downs. That affected ranchers who had to turn to local processors. Local processors stopped processing as much hunting and game animals. So, yeah, so it's trickled down thus far, but it looks like it's going to trickle down even farther. From what I've heard, there has been an increase in now hunters buying their own equipment, so their own butcher knives, their own processing equipment, their own grinders, which aren't cheap. But so that's another supply chain that will be affected by this. And then, of course, from what I've been seeing and what I've been hearing, that what's happening at local butchering facilities and local processors is they were seeing this return to local even before the pandemic. So you had people starting to come back. You had more ranchers broaching the idea. And the pandemic was really the push that pushed way more people into that market. And so they expect it to continue, if not stay where it is, maybe grow in the future. But they see it to do that, that it would grow that market, that local butcher market. But right now, obviously, we don't have enough of them. That's a problem. And so the USDA actually this summer invested about $55 million in grants to increase the capacity for meat and poultry inspection operations. There's been a lot of incentives to bolster small processing facilities across the country because Congress does see it as a weakness. If we have only 4 major beef processors that control about 80% of the market, that's a problem if one of them is affected by something like a pandemic or a massive facility has to be shut down for any amount of time. That's a threat to the supply chain. So that has been happening. There's also an ongoing DOJ investigation that I've been trying to keep an eye on. But of course, DOJ tends to be pretty hush-hush about active investigations. Yeah. But of course, at the beginning of the pandemic, when these major supply chains slowed down, you had a glut of live cattle that needed to be processed. So the cost of live cattle dropped like a rock. And then you had the cost of things like burger in the stores, which were all of a sudden way more expensive. And the investigation is to see whether that was a natural market force or whether there was some collusion among major processing companies to short ranchers and make profits off of consumers. Of course, right now that's still under investigation, but that's some of the things that I see coming down the pike here.
Well, and I think it's interesting, Madeline, about this local angle, right? Because and going back pre-pandemic, because I mean, just even myself, right? I think a lot of people kind of made a turn to buying more local or trying to buy as much locally as possible, even when it comes to meat. So that is interesting to, as you mentioned, that we may even see more of that in the future.
Right. And I think, I mean, you saw probably pre-pandemic more people looking for those CSA boxes, those boxes with vegetables. Yeah. And there were those showing up with local butchers too. And people were really excited about them. And I heard about it the Christmas before the pandemic, that people were buying them for each other. So we could, of course, see more of that. We could see more boutique meats, boutique cuts. Mm. But yeah, I think that's definitely something to look for.
So you also talked about labor issues in your piece, Madeline. So how hard is it then to find someone who can butcher? I mean, it's a tough job. But did you hear whether people stuck around at Northwest Premium Meats?
Yeah. So what they were saying is, you know, they were able to find some new people, but they are hard to find and there's a pretty good turnover. And so folks there, I mean, they said they were prioritizing increasing salaries, making sure they have really robust benefits to try to keep people there, just because they do have high turnover, just because jobs in this market, you know, you can find one that might be easier for the same pay. So there is that struggle within the labor market right now, but it is also really hard to find experienced cutters. I know that there they have some people that have been doing this for a long time and they're very, very good at it. It's deceptively challenging to get the maximum amount of good cuts and meats off of an animal. And there's also a lot of meat science that goes behind it, how long you wait for it to be hanging there so good bacteria can come in and cure the meat and so it doesn't taste so like gamey. So there's certain specific sciences behind this, and it does take knowledge to figure out how to do that. So replacing people in this job market will be a challenge. So I know at least there, they're really trying to hold on to the guys that have been there a long while. But yeah, I think we're going to continue to see with the labor market, these guys trying to jockey to get more employees. And then when it comes to that, though, they're going to have to pay them more. And that will likely mean higher prices for meats at those establishments.
So let's talk about this Boise Game Butcher, Get Your Meats. How are things going there now?
I actually got a call from him yesterday. They apparently they are just catching up. You know, they're making way through their list. Before, when I talked to him a little while ago, I mean, he had a backlog of 200 people. You know, he just stopped, like he said in his story, he just stopped answering the phone. But what, of course, he does, and he says that, you know, if you've got a big freezer or a block freezer, or if you have a friend with a block freezer, he was just telling people, you know, so the meat doesn't spoil, just cut it down into small enough sizes that it can fit in your buddy's freezer, and then he'll process it later. Because, of course, nobody wants this meat to go to waste. Obviously, that's unethical for a number of reasons for everybody involved. Nobody wants that to happen. And so, yeah, he'd encouraged people to, you know, try to preserve it in any way they can, find their buddy's freezer, just get stuff frozen so that it can be processed later. But of course, that comes up to another problem, which is the freezer supply issue, because we've had during the pandemic issues with having enough freezers, trying to get freezers ordered. So if you're a hunter trying to buy a block freezer right now, you're going to get in line with everybody else who's trying to buy freezers in the industry right now. So just yet another challenge.
Yeah. Well, Madeline, I appreciate the reporting on this because I think this is, you know, this is an aspect of the pandemic that sometimes gets overlooked, but again, has serious consequences to the average person.
Right. And yeah, I think just going into the stores, you or I might not necessarily immediately say like, oh, beef is another like 50 cents higher or something.
Right.
But when you look to, especially at the beginning of the food supply chain to the ranchers, like that does matter. If they can't, if all of a sudden they can't find a place to process their cow or their sheep, or their lambs. I know with lamb processing, it's not widespread, but some have stopped during the pandemic because it's such a specific, I want to say like an art almost, because they're very small. One wrong cut can ruin an entire animal. So some have moved away from that. And that's a challenge for, of course, our sheep herders here and our you know, that those populations in Idaho and Nevada. So just yet another challenge.
Yeah. Well, as always, Madeline, appreciate your reporting. We've been speaking with Mountain West News Bureau reporter Madeline Beck. Remember, you can always find more of Madeline's work at boisestatepublicradio.org. More Idaho Matters next.